Amen. Thank you, Cecile. Good morning and welcome to Christ Central. If we haven't met yet, my name is Owen. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. Just so glad everyone's here today. This week has been a hard week for our nation, hasn't it? It's been a heartbreaking week with hatred showing up in so many of its ugly forms, from racism to even political violence. Our nation really feels dark, divided. It's discouraging times. To be honest, I feel like things haven't been this bad in my adult life. And I was thinking about how I wanted to address this, because I felt like I needed to address it before I preached. But instead of saying something, I want to pray. I want to lead us in prayer. And I want to borrow prayer that was written by one of my favorite pastors, Pastor Scotty Smith, on his blog, which he shared yesterday. But before I pray, by using his prayer, I want to read a prayer phrase that Pastor Scotty wrote of Isaiah 60 and Revelation 21, which speaks to our particular hope as Christians of the day when violence will be no more and the presence of God will be full and perfect. I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. The sounds of violence shall never be heard in your land again. Ruin and destruction won't happen within your borders. Instead, your walls will deserve the name salvation, for peace will permeate the city. And your gates will be named praise, not protection, for my presence will be fully there all the time on both sides of the gate. Let's pray together, church. Lord Jesus, I'm simmering, lamenting, sighing, somewhat angry, definitely sad, weary of madness and meanness in all its forms. Rifle shots and drone attacks pillage too many lives. Contemptuous words torch hearts and burn relationships to the ground like a wildfire. Not just on social media between political non-parties, but in grocery stores as frustrated moms publicly humiliate and shame kids, and in the out-of-sight places of sexual abuse, spousal hate, and bullying in all its forms. How long, O Lord, until you return and put an end to all violence? When will the dawn break on the day of no more pointing of guns or even pointing of fingers? Jesus, when will peace be our governor and well-being our ruler? I know the answer is in the new heaven and the new earth, but will you please hurry up, Lord? We crave it, but can hardly imagine only using our words to praise you and to encourage each other. Oh, for the day we will never again weaponize our disappointments or even think evil or ill of anyone. We won't play nice. We will be 100% holy, holy like you, Jesus. Until then, show us how to live by the gospel, not by the sword, and by the way of your cross, and not by the gracelessness in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, we started our fall sermon series called Spiritual Formation Practices. And the goal of this series is to not only learn about the ancient spiritual formation practices, but more importantly, to practice them together in community so that we might be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did, which is simply and profoundly to love God and to love people. Last week, I began to introduce this sermon series with a sermon called An Invitation to be Formed by Grace, and today will be part two of this two-part introduction to the series. If you have your Bibles, turn with me again, as we did last week, to John chapter 15, and then we're going to jump over to Romans chapter 8. John 15, verses 1 and following, church. This is the voice of our God being heard in and through the reading of his word. So would you please give it your careful attention? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and following. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last Sunday, I began to introduce this sermon series by answering five questions. Let's quickly review them. Question number one, what are spiritual formation practices? Well, they are intentional practices, exercises, and rhythms by which we open ourselves up to the transforming love and presence of God in Christ. Question two, why do we need them? It's because all of us, all the time, are being formed and shaped by something or someone. The question is, who or what is shaping and forming us? Our culture or Jesus by his word and spirit? Question three, why are they so hard to do? Well, it's because there's both external and internal resistances. The external resistance comes from our culture that idolizes hurry and busyness and accumulation and achievement. And there's also the internal resistance that comes from our sinful nature, which simply wants to avoid God. Question four, what is the goal of spiritual formation practices? Well, the goal is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did, which is to love God and to love our neighbors who are created in the image of God. And question five, what is the motivation for doing the spiritual formation practices? It's the gospel. The gospel is the motivation. Jesus demonstrated his great love for us by laying down his life on the cross for us and for our salvation. And this beautiful love that was supremely expressed and demonstrated on the cross, Jesus now invites us to come and to abide in that love. We don't do the practices to earn the love of Jesus. We do them to enjoy and to experience the love of Jesus and ultimately to be transformed by his love. If you missed last week's sermon and would like to listen to it, you can do that on our social media accounts, on our YouTube channel, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Let me encourage you to do that if you missed last Sunday. Today, we're going to consider this one question. It's a big question. What are the spiritual benefits for doing the spiritual formation practices? Now, there are so many spiritual benefits, but today, because I don't have like 3 hours, I'm going to highlight just seven of them. And my goal today is to motivate you to want to do them. I want you to want to do the spiritual formation practices because you're convinced that they're not only good, but that they're good for you, that it would be in your best interest to attend to these practices. So let's start with the first one. The first and the greatest spiritual benefit is deeper communion with God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." You see, at the heart of spiritual formation is drawing near to God. God does not invite us to the practices to burden us, but to welcome us to himself, to invite us to come closer to him, to come near to him. When we practice things like prayer and scripture and Sabbath, silence and fasting, we're not just checking off boxes on our spiritual to-do list. We're drawing near to God. See, the wonder of the gospel is not only that God saves us, but even more astoundingly, God stays with us. This is at the heart of salvation, isn't it? To dwell with God, to call God our God, and for God to call us his people. This is at the heart of the covenants. This is at the heart of salvation. You see, the heart of salvation is the Jesus that saves you will never leave you. The Jesus that forgives you will never forsake you. Jesus is the true friend who sticks closer than a brother. So think of the spiritual formation practices not so much as duties, but as doors. When you sit quietly and alone in the morning, as you experience silence and solitude, it's a door. When you open the scriptures to read, it's a door. When you pray, it's a door. When you fast, it's a door. It's a door that opens up into the presence of God. On the other side of the door is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, waiting to meet with you, waiting to shower you with his love, for you to abide in his love. You know, many Christians know a lot about God, the facts, the doctrines, the stories of the Bible. But the spiritual formation practices, what they do is it moves us from knowing about God to walking with God. It moves us from being able to say, I know that God is good, which is important and good, but it moves us to be able to say, I have seen and I have tasted the goodness of God in my own life. There's a difference. The second spiritual benefit is the transformation of our character into greater likeness to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, at the heart of spiritual formation, the goal, the ultimate goal of spiritual formation is to become more like Jesus in our character. The goal of spiritual formation is not so that we can increase in our knowledge of God, though that's good. It's not even so that we can experience intimacy with God, though that is good as well. The ultimate goal of spiritual formation is to become more like Jesus. You see, the more time you spend with Jesus, his character shapes your character. And your old self, which is dominated by selfishness, pride, and fear, and anger, slowly is remade into your new self, which is now dominated by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the beautiful effects of transforming grace is that your very reflexes begin to change, so that you begin to resemble Jesus in how you respond to people and to situations. Where you would normally have been irritated, you slowly become more patient and understanding. Where you would usually have been offended and defensive, you slowly become more humble, and you're able to admit your mistakes and your faults, even your sins. Where you would normally have been harsh, you slowly become more gentle. Where you would usually have been critical and cynical, you slowly become more appreciative and hopeful. Where you would normally have been entitled and demanding, you slowly become more grateful and accommodating. Where you normally would have held a grudge or become bitter, you slowly become more forgiving and gracious. In other words, when you would normally have reacted out of the flesh, you slowly become able to respond in the spirit. And this is not the product of your self-will, your willpower and your self-improvement project. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who's at work in you to make you more like Jesus. When the fruit of the Spirit blossoms in your life, you resemble Jesus more and more as your life, as your character produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want you to notice this. It's not called the fruits of the Spirit, as if you can pick and choose which ones you want in your life. It's one fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a whole new character being cultivated in you by the Spirit to make you more like Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit doesn't blossom in one day or in one week or even in a month, but over a lifetime, over years, over decades of abiding in Jesus and in his love, which we get to do through the spiritual formation practices. You know, the gospel tells us that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that he rose again. The gospel tells us that he ascended into heaven. The gospel tells us that he sent forth the Holy Spirit, and that means the Holy Spirit that he has sent forth now lives in us. And if the Holy Spirit lives in us, guess what he's doing? He is working actively to remake us, to renew us, and to transform us into the beautiful image of his son Jesus. And he who began a good work in you, he is faithful, and he will bring it to completion one day. Amen? It's up to the Spirit's power. He will do it because he is faithful. The third spiritual benefit is greater spiritual clarity and discernment. I think now more than ever, we live in a world of constant noise. Every day, we're bombarded with news and updates from social media and news outlets, and it's impossible to keep up with everything. It's overwhelming. With social media, streaming services, music, and podcasts like everywhere and always on, it's like almost impossible to hear the voice of God. And it's so easy to get swept up into partisan politics, the division, the anger, the fear, to hate. We're surrounded by confusion and darkness, and debate rages about what is truly good, what is truly true, what is truly beautiful. Everyone thinks and says and does what they think is right in their own eyes. And in the midst of it all, it's so easy to forget what truly matters in the light of eternity. The spiritual formation practices help to bring spiritual clarity and discernment where there is so much confusion, darkness, and disagreement. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, when you're walking at night out in the countryside, maybe in the middle of Middleburg or something like that, where there's no street lights, it can be really, really dark. It's hard to see like more than 2 or 3 feet in front of you. So what do you do when it's that dark? Well, you take out your phone, turn on your flashlight, and you shine light so that you can stay on the path, so that you don't stumble and fall. The spiritual formation practices, especially the practice of reading and meditating on scriptures, they're like a lamp. They're like a light to our path, so we can walk through the darkness and the confusion of this culture without stumbling. You see, the scriptures show us what is truly true, what is truly good, what is truly beautiful. Now more than ever, we need the word of God, which stands as the only reliable source of truth, clarity, beauty, and light. And as we do the practices, our spiritual vision sharpens. We begin to see that the will of God as revealed in the scriptures is actually good, wise, and best. We begin to see what honors God and what truly promotes human flourishing and what doesn't. We begin to see what truly matters in the light of the kingdom of God, which has already come and one day will come in fullness. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still, and know that I am God. Stillness before God is not wasted time. I feel like in our culture, we don't know how to be still anymore. 30 seconds of stillness and silence feel like an eternity, doesn't it? But stillness before God is a holy act of resistance to a world that has gone crazy, being busy, always in a hurry. Stillness before God becomes sacred space and time where God restores our spiritual perspective, where the urgent things fade away and the eternal things come back into its proper focus. Spiritual clarity and discernment come from being still before God and abiding in his word. These practices quiet the noise so that we can hear the voice of God, which has been speaking to us all along in his word. Did you know that the problem is not that God doesn't speak to us? The problem actually is that we don't stop to listen to God. God is speaking. God has been speaking. He speaks to us in his word. When was the last time you stopped, sat down, were still for a few minutes so that you can listen to God, to hear the voice of God as you read his word? The fourth spiritual benefit is strengthened resistance to temptation and sin. You see, when we abide in Jesus and we abide in his love, we're empowered to resist that which dishonors God. We're empowered to turn away from anything that would either harm or degrade our neighbors who are created in the image of God. Let me ask you, church, do you long for more power to resist sin? To turn away from lust or pride or anger or fear or selfishness? Well, the power to do that comes not from your willpower, but from being with God, resting in his presence, sensing his pleasure in his presence. It is God's nearness to you that will give you the strength to resist sin and the freedom to flee from sin. Like the old hymn says, I love these words from this old hymn. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. When Jesus is near, temptations lose their power. If the Christian life can be likened to spiritual warfare, then the way we train for it is by practicing the spiritual formation practices. The practices are ways for us to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit so that when the temptations come, they lose their power. And you have the power to turn away, to resist, and to flee. The fifth spiritual benefit is an increased love for others. Love is the inevitable fruit of communion with Christ. You see, the closer you draw near to Jesus, the more you become like him. And the more you become like Jesus, the more you begin to love like him. True spiritual formation is never just about your inner peace or your personal growth, that is a part of it, but it always blossoms into love for others. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know these are familiar words, but these are such important words. Listen again. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If your spiritual formation doesn't make you a more loving person to your spouse, your parents, your children, your coworkers, your siblings, your roommates, or even your enemies, then something's gone wrong. Spiritual disciplines without love is self-righteousness. Doing the spiritual disciplines without love will turn you into a Pharisee. It's almost better not to do the spiritual disciplines if you're going to do it without love. It will make you a worse person. Spiritual practices are never just vertical about me and God. There's always horizontal implications. And Jesus joined the vertical and the horizontal, didn't he, in the great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love for God is what fuels love for your neighbor, because they're the image of God. You love God by loving your neighbor, who are created in his image. Pastor and author John Mark Comer said this, and I love this. It's so simple and so punchy. He said, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we begin to love what he loves, and Jesus loves people. He loves people. Love is the evidence of true spiritual formation. Love is the fruit of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus at work in us. If we have not love, you could do all the spiritual formation practices perfectly. But if we have not love, I am nothing and I gain nothing. The sixth spiritual benefit is endurance and resilience when suffering and hardship come. Life in this fallen and broken world is marked by pain and loss, disappointment and sorrow, and none of us are immune. It's not a matter of if, but when. Suffering will come for each and every one of us, everyone. Sooner or later, it's going to come. But for those who have been with Jesus through rhythms of prayer and scripture and silence and Sabbath, they are being strengthened for the day of testing. Spiritual formation prepares us to suffer well with faith and hope and poise to the glory of God and to the great encouragement of those who see us suffer with faith, hope, and poise. Just as athletes train daily so that their bodies know how to respond under pressure, so Christians who walk with Jesus in the ordinary days are ready when the extraordinary hardships come. When the job that you've had for decades is taken away. When your marriage falls apart. When the cancer diagnosis comes. The one who has been abiding in Christ will find strength, will find peace, because they have been walking with and resting in the goodness and wisdom and sovereignty of their God. You're not going to know how to do that when the suffering comes if you weren't doing it before the suffering comes. Spiritual formation practices train us not to escape suffering, but to walk with Jesus through them. With Jesus, we learn how to lament with honesty. With Jesus, we learn how to wait with patience. With Jesus, we learn how to trust with hope. And those who abide in Jesus are able to say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. They're able to sing of the goodness of God while they endure their sufferings. They're able to sing while they suffer, able to worship while they weep, because they know that Jesus is enough. Jesus is with them, and Jesus will bring them safely home to his heavenly kingdom one day. They know that the worst thing that could ever happen to them is resurrection and life everlasting with Jesus and the new heavens and the new earth. And when you know that's the worst thing that could ever happen to you, you can endure, walk through your suffering with faith, hope, and poise, because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with me. The seventh spiritual benefit is an increased awareness of our own need for grace. Now, if you, hopefully, all of us will experience this as we try to, with earnest intention, engage these spiritual formation practices, you're going to quickly discover something about yourself. You're going to discover how weak you are. You're going to try to pray, and within 5 seconds, you're going to get distracted. You're going to try to read scripture, and within 5 seconds, you're thinking about something else. You're going to try to keep the Sabbath, but you're going to feel restless and unproductive. You're going to try to fast, but you're not going to make it through. You're going to try silence and solitude. And after 30 seconds, you're like, oh my God, this is a waste of time. I feel crazy. In every attempt, your weaknesses will be revealed. And yet, that is a gift. You see, spiritual practices reveal not how strong we are, but how weak we are and how much we need the grace of God. And it's right there in those moments of being scatter-minded, being distracted, when you're not at your best spiritually, if you will, that Jesus meets with you. And he meets with you not to be disappointed with you, but to be delighted that you came. Isn't that amazing? We can pray and be distracted. We can pray not very well. And yet Jesus delights in us. These practices were never about you proving yourself to Jesus. They've always been about Jesus meeting you in your weakness, in your distraction, and showing you how much he loves you, how faithful he is to you when you are unfaithful to him. The gospel says that God our Father loves us and accepts us, not because we're so good or not because we're so diligent at doing our spiritual formation practices. We're accepted because we've been united by faith to Jesus. And that means our Father in heaven sees us in Christ. What that means is the very love that the Father has for the Son is the very love that he has for us. Isn't this astounding? God the Father loves you as much as he loves the Son because you've been found in the Son. These practices are not meant to drive you to pride as though you're special because you're so diligent at doing them. Nor are they meant to drive you to despair because you're a failure because you don't do them very well. They're meant to drive you to Jesus so you can abide in him, so you can abide in his love, so you can find true rest for your weary and worn and burdened souls. So what? What's my takeaway? What's the final word that I want to say before we begin this series? It's simply this. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, today I want you to hear the invitation of the risen and living Lord Jesus to you. And this is his invitation to you, personally to you. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, this is his invitation to you. Come and abide in me. Come and abide in my love. So today, if you're tired, go to Jesus, and he will give you rest. If you're restless, go to Jesus, and he will give you peace. If you're dry, go to Jesus, and he will give you living water. If you're empty, go to Jesus. He will give you bread from heaven. If you're unsure and uncertain, go to Jesus, and he will give you the truth upon which you can stand, upon which you can build your entire life. Don't see the spiritual formation practices as burdens. See them as an invitation, as a door that opens up into the very presence and love of God. So Christ Central family, this is what we were made for. This is what we were redeemed for, to live in the presence of our Father, to be formed into the image of the Son, and to be filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, so that our lives may overflow with love for God and for one another. So come and abide, come and rest, come and be changed, and may the precious words of Jesus become true in your life. My joy will be in you, and your joy will be made full. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is the astonishing wonder of the gospel, that you came not just to save us, but to stay with us, to never leave nor forsake us, to be with us as Emmanuel, to make us more like yourself, and to one day finally bring us home to be with you in the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more sin, No more gunshots. No more suffering. No more sorrow. No more dying. Oh, Lord Jesus, hurry. Hurry back. We long for you. We long for the kingdom of God to come. In your name we pray. Amen.